breaking news to start things off here on the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Brett Rypien has been announced the backup quarterback for the Denver Broncos. There you go. And we got tons of breaking news, though. Broncos just traded Malik Reed to the Pittsburgh Steelers, a source confirmed. He was a starter for two seasons, so a little bit of a surprise there. But Malik Reed is gone. Now it's going to open it up for Bradley Chubb, Randy Gregory, Baron Browning, Nick Benito, maybe Jonathan Cooper. But that's kind of the, you know, we had our insider on yesterday. And Zach, listen, Zach gets it right most of the time, I would say, from DNVR Broncos. But, you know, Angel, I wanted to argue with him a little bit yesterday, but I pulled back because he clearly knows more than I do when it comes to in-depth Broncos coverage. But I felt like Brett Rypien was the better quarterback in the preseason. He just seemed to have more poise, more control of the offense, and apparently Nathaniel Hackett thought so as well. So Brett Rypien, now the backup quarterback to Russell Wilson. Josh Johnson has been released, so kind of a bummer for him, man. They released him. He's going to go. So the way it works for him, he's got to, like Josh Johnson, he's not subject to waivers and immediately becomes a free agent. A waived player must go through waivers until Wednesday. Then his contract is free to claim by a team. If nobody claims his contract by Wednesday, you could essentially bring Josh Johnson back, put him on the practice squad. But are you going to do that? Probably not. And I think that would almost be disrespectful for Johnson. Let him stay in the free agent market, even if he's not picked up by Wednesday. And then he becomes a backup somewhere else. But Josh Johnson is gone. 15 teams for him? He was on 14th with Denver, so if he can get on another one, that'll be 15. Well, you know you want to see that record, right? A person that plays on like almost all the teams. That would be pretty cool. So what do you think? Brett Rypien is the backup to Russell Wilson. How do you feel about that? I like it. You know, Rypien has fought with this team for the last couple of seasons to try to make his way up. That guy, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, you're getting to that point where getting a little older, not that much, but he still might have a shot sometime in this league to do something. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Other news, Mize Vi Brewing Player of the Week, McTelvin Agim, was released. But, hey, congratulations to... Yeah. It's a parting gift for McTelvin Agim. Yay! Susan and Cheryl, bid you adieu. Well done. Well done, my friend. I was really rooting for him. Man, they were loving that. Oh, man. I'm ready to get our first real player of the week, though, because we did a lot of Rockies players of the week over the summer. We're going to get one. Surely we're going to get one between UNC, CSU, Wyoming, Air Force, and CU. Surely, right? They're not all going to just put duds out there this weekend, right, Angel?
I hope not.
Jeez. Do you have any predictions who my first real football player? This will be because I've had two. I think Baron Browning was one, and then Agim was one. But I have not had a regular season, like, real game means something. I was hoping it would be Titus Swen for Wyoming, but that was not the case. Any predictions? You're going to give me a bear, aren't you?
Yeah, of course.
You're going to give me a bear.
Let's go with Elijah Dotson, running back for UNC.
Okay.
I'm so pumped to watch this dude run.
I'm excited about him. You know, what I've been talking about, the theme of the show for, like, the last month has been, even if the team's not projected to be amazing or whatever, what are those things you can attach yourself to go, okay, I'm kind of excited about that guy. I'm kind of excited about that guy. Dotson's one of those guys for UNC. Definitely. On the offensive side of the ball. You don't think it's going to be a defensive guy, huh?
I mean, the popular pick is David Hogue.
That's where I thought you were going to go.
Maybe Jordan Knapp, who's back at the safety spot. Maybe he likes to show out game one. But I think Dotson's going to have a day on Saturday.
We got to try to get him on the show. Broncos are harder because, you know, we're Northern Colorado and Denver gets the rights to those guys first, but that's okay. We'll try to get whoever that might be. What if it's Clay? What if Clay Millen goes out? Okay, here's a question for you, Angel, because this is, you go check out my list of Players, the whole show Player of the Week. This year it's presented by Zvi Brewing. I love that place. Can a guy win Player of the Week in a loss? Or do I have to go with a winner? So, like, let's say UNC is the only one to win this weekend. Or Air Force is the only one to win this weekend. But I really liked the showing from Dotson or somebody. Can a player lose? Can a team lose? But I still go with that player. I'm sure I've done it at some point.
It's definitely tough. Like, you have to make a case that you did great, and maybe you didn't lose the game for your team.
Yeah,
like he could go out and throw for 250 and four touchdowns, and they still lose by 10. And you're like, look, you looked good, but your team lost.
That would be a good prediction game on Friday for Football Friday. Is have the Hooligans try to predict who my player of the week is going to be. Last year, like, we started this in basketball season, Angel. And it was basically, Joker could have won every week. I mean, he could have. But David Roddy won a bunch. Dalen Kuntz won a bunch. I think Isaiah Stevens won a few. This is going to be a very spread out football season. Because a Bronco can win this thing, too. No doubt about it. So there's some news so far on Denver's cuts. We'll keep you going there. They have a couple more hours to get that thing down to 53. They just waived Jonathan Harris, who appeared in three games for Denver in 2019 and played three in 2021. What other news? Malik Reed, I told you about, he's being traded. Josh Johnson's been released. Brett Rippon's the guy. McTelvin Aguim. I was bummed for him because I thought he balled out, man. I thought he made a strong case to make this team. But, you know, you're trying to just make room. Oh, Kendall Hinton. Kendall Hinton got released as well. He's a Hall of Famer. So you just released a Hall of Famer, Denver. How do you feel about that?
It's a very bittersweet day across the NFL. You get these fan favorite players in the preseason. You're following them in training camp. Thinking, oh, he's a bubble guy. He might be able to make this team. And then today comes and they get cut. And it's just, that sucks.
It sucks. You said Preston Williams, former CSU Ram, that you're my insider there because of your Dolphin fandom. Yeah. Dolphindom.
Preston's been on the team for, I want to say, 3-4 years now.
Yeah.
Hasn't really been able to cut out a spot on there, and he got cut today.
He was kind of a part of that wide receiver U thing that CSU had going for a while. He wasn't up there like with Rashard Higgins and, well, of course, Michael Gallup. And our guy Warren, maybe see if Warren Jackson, is he? I know he was hurt. I messaged him about 2 weeks ago, and I wished him luck. Maybe 4 weeks ago. I have no concept of time anymore. And he said, hey, I'm kind of banged up right now. So I don't know. Maybe he's playing with the Los Angeles Rams right now. I don't know what that looks like for him. Maybe he doesn't make the team. So kind of a bummer. And I'll get to some local stories later during the lunch rush, even though we hit the top trending stories nationally. But I do have some kind of local ties to those stories.
Warren Jackson was placed on IR after clearing waivers.
Ah,
yes.
A bummer. That sucks. Well, not a good day then for former CSU guys. Loved Warren, man. He was a great guy, or he is a great guy. Wish him the best going forward. Angel, what do you think? Let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. This is a good story. You've probably been hearing about this one. Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson was released from the hospital Monday, one day after being shot twice in an armed robbery attempt. He's going to meet with doctors today at the team's facility to determine the extent of his rehabilitation, according to a source. Washington still remains pretty optimistic about his chance of playing this season. However, Coach Ron Rivera said Monday that they're uncertain he'll be able to return. Not a good story for him.
It's a Bama guy.
Yeah, well, there you go. You have all the Bama guys in the NFL.
All of them are.
Wow. That's a lot, man. That's a long list.
The list grows by at least five every year.
CSU
it's
grows.
It's hard to keep track of the older guys now because they're just all over the place. But
CSU grows like five every 10 years, maybe? I don't know. They have a few guys in the league now. Okay, let's get to the bad here. I keep asking you the same. Do we care? Another player leaves the PGA Tour for LIV Golf. Billy Horschel. I like that name, Horschel.
Really?
I just enjoy the name. It's a good last name. He approached, he was going up to the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club. he was talking to a friend, Cameron Smith, about the PGA Tour, and basically it came out that he's leaving. Horschel and Smith both live next to each other, and they play golf all the time, and they've been talking about making the jump. But sounds like he's going to move on. Smith's leaving the PGA Tour as well for LIV. So I guess it's just weird. It's just a strange thing that the PGA Tour, I never thought the PGA Tour would have competition. And now they do. Maybe that will make it better. What makes all these leagues better is when they have real competition. So, I think college football pushes the NFL to be better. I think college basketball pushes the NBA. European basketball pushes the NBA. They just want to be a better brand, a better product. So we'll see if this actually does that. I don't know what more you can do. We talked about some of the like technical stuff they're going to try to do with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, but who knows? How about the ugly story here? Atlanta Falcons' Calvin Ridley among targets of gang-related celebrity home robberies, according to an indictment, according to ESPN. And a prosecutor on Monday announced a sprawling indictment targeting members of what she said is a violent street gang that has been targeting the Atlanta area homes of famous athletes, including Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley. And entertainers that flaunt their money and all that stuff, they basically find them and are tracking them down and finding where they live. Wow. Like Mariah Carey is a target on here. Atlanta United goalkeeper Brad Guzan and Marlo Hampton of the Real Housewives of Atlanta all had their homes broken into. Mariah Carey, those two people, and now Calvin Ridley's kind of being targeted. So, crazy.
That's weird.
That's like a high-profile stuff. That's going to get... I wonder if that's like an initiation thing for gang members, or... I mean, you're going to get caught if you are going after celebrities with a lot of money and a lot of pull. Just seems like an interesting thing to go. I guess you know there's honey in that hive, man. So,
well, if you can make it on the whole show, it's pretty big news.
Yeah, am I gonna get? Yeah, that's true.
Careful.
I got to be careful here because I don't want to be a target of anybody on that side of things. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. More news with the Broncos cuts and everything. They're trimming it down though. The big story really is Brett Rippon is the backup quarterback for the Broncos. Kendall Hinton has been released, and Josh Johnson has been released, and McTelvin Agim has been released as well. Those are kind of the bigger names that we were following throughout preseason. Brendan Vogt from DNVR Nuggets was in Serbia last week following Nikola Jokic, and I want to get the inside scoop of what that journey was like. So we're going to talk to Brendan about that next. Also ask Brendan if he's concerned at all, or should fans be concerned that the Joker's like nonstop playing basketball? Like he's always playing basketball. Is that something to be worried about? Because you saw Danilo Gallinari with the scare over the weekend. He plays for the Celtics, and he gets hurt playing over the summer for his team. So is that a scare? We'll talk to Brennan. All things Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the latest news on the Rockies with Rockies Rundown hosted by Jerry Schemmel and Tanner Schwint. Thursdays at 2 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 1310 KFK and 1310KFK.com.
This is Miles Blumhart, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-four minutes after 11 o'clock. I like that. That's good. What is that, Angel?
I'm not even gonna try to pronounce it, but it is Serbian party music.
Oh, so I bet you our boy Brendan Vogt was blaring this, man. I bet he was having a time. Brendan, joining us now from DNVR Nuggets, back safely, I presume, from Serbia and your trip to kind of see what Nikola Jokic is all about when he's not playing for the Nuggets.
That's right, back safely, still in New York. Party's still going for me, but I'll be in Denver. I'll be, yeah, I know, I'm ready to pass out, brother. I'll be in Denver tonight, and ready to turn the eye towards Eurobasket for Team Serbia, and of course that Nugget season just around the corner, brother.
Oh man, dude, I gotta admit, Brennan, I'm a little jealous. I've been a little jealous of you. Really wanted to find my way onto that plane with you guys somehow, but what a trip! So, talk to us, Brendan, about this trip. Like when you guys all got together and talked about it, what went into this? What made you guys decide to go for it and get out to Serbia?
Sure, great question, man. It started with, I think, a fundamental question about what is Serbian basketball. And obviously, when Jokic got to Denver, in some ways, I think we all treated him like a happy accident. Look at this lovable goofball, this guy who just so happens to be so good at this game. But the more we learned about Serbian basketball, former Yugoslavian basketball, the more we learned this was no accident at all. So we wanted to get an understanding, to build a richer context for ourselves of the history of Serbian basketball, the people and the region that produced Jokic, and of course, along the way, learn as much as we can outside of the game, just about a people that frankly feel like they haven't had their story told from their own perspective. So we just wanted to listen with an open mind and learn as much as we can. And I'll say mission accomplished on that front.
Dude, I think this is so cool. Such a unique thing. And how about that? I bet followers, I know a lot of our listeners that follow your stuff, were very interested to see what this was like. And good for you guys to go say, hey, we know Nikola Jokic as the player and he's funny and all that stuff, but let's go see the place that produced this two-time MVP. So what stood out to you in terms of that, you know, just learning about Nikola Jokic and the surroundings there? Talk to us a little bit maybe about some of the bullet points that stood out.
Sure. Well, an easy place to start is where it all started. We made our way to Sombor, of course, the hometown of Jokic, and now a place where he's invested quite a lot in the basketball infrastructure. So we got to see the KK Joker facility. That's Basketball Club Joker, a youth club team that he bought, and he gave them a world-class facility there so people in Sombor can grow up, you know, learning and playing, not just from elite coaches, but in elite facilities as well. So he's already given back to that community. But we just got to know Sombor, which I think I used to understand as maybe all dusty dirt roads and people riding horse carriages. But no, it's a proper town, once a really important city in that country. And there's still a lot of people living there, and they all remind me of Jokic. They move slowly. They talk slowly. They live in the moment, and they're in no rush. And I'm sure that sounds familiar to everyone who's familiar with the big fella. So starting from there, seeing his high school where he learned how, you know, he first learned how to play, talking with some of his former coaches, his friends, we learned a lot about the people there. And I can say confidently that Jokic is from Sombor, very much a typical person from the region.
Wow. How cool is that? Just getting to know the people around there, too. How much basketball did you take in? Did you take in some hoops down there? Or up there?
We did, man.
Over there somewhere?
Yeah, over there. Oh, let's go with over. Yeah. The trip culminated in catching Jokic playing for Team Serbia in Belgrade as they hosted Greece in a World Cup qualifier. And that game went into overtime. It was a classic. And it was, in my opinion, the two best players in the world. Leave some room for Steph, but Giannis and Jokic going right at each other and seeing the people of Serbia rooting for Team Serbia. And, man, it transcends Jokic. They know how important he is. But this is a long, important, and rich history of loving the game, of succeeding at the game, that goes beyond Jokic, beyond NBA success. They're over there to see Serbian success. And so watching that, being in the building for that, goosebumps, man. We saw Sombor shuffle for three in the right corner.
I saw that.
The game. I mean, that felt like it was an out-of-body experience, experiencing that in Belgrade. So we're still trying to wrap our minds around what we saw, but we saw plenty, including what we came to see, and that's Jokic representing his country.
So obviously that was a heck of a, what an opportunity though to see Joker represent Serbia in a game against Greece, and then Giannis and representing. I mean, how special was that? I mean, of course you saved a lot of things from that trip, but that ticket stub's got to be awesome.
That's right, man. Yeah, people are going to think I'm pandering here, but it's my favorite live basketball experience that I've seen.
Wow.
I mean, the Nuggets games, I think, with that kind of atmosphere, that feel in the air, I think a lot of them happened in the bubble. Obviously we weren't in the building for that, but being there and feeling the national pride, which you know, it's going to be hard to explain in a radio hit. So
sure.
Shameless plug, keep your eye out for our documentary on this very thing I'm hoping to articulate here. That should be dropping on Ivaka TV. But to be Serbian, to be proud of Serbian heritage is a different thing than it is to be American, than it is to be a lot of nationalities. They've had to fight so hard for their own existence. And they are a small country in Europe that's never really been seen as Western or Eastern. They haven't had a ton of allies. They've really been on their own. And so they take great pride in seeing their athletes, seeing one of their own just go out and thrive and succeed. And so feeling that, just being in the building for that, it's not something that I can compare to an American sport experience so far. And hopefully that changes one day, but it is one for the books for sure.
Wow, man. I'm very curious to check out that documentary, that must-see if you're a Nuggets fan. Not even that, man. The experiences that you had, I'm sure, so much beyond basketball, but the game itself was probably fantastic. I know it was fantastic. And so how much did you see Joker quite a little bit? What was that like? Were you around him at all?
Yeah, we caught up with him at the end, you know, credentials for the game, so we did the media thing. We gave him his space, though. You know, he knew we were making the trip, and when he's with Team Serbia, he's not trying to do the Denver Nuggets thing.
Sure.
And vice versa. So, you know, we gave him his space, but we got to see him at the end, and I think he appreciated that we were there to see that atmosphere. I'll tell you, the next time someone asks him if he heard the boos or if he's worried about that hostile Philly crowd, and he laughs, I'm going to laugh right with him, because it's nothing compared to what they got going on over there. So I think he appreciated it. Who's to say? But I know a lot of Serbians did. So we got a lot out of it, brother. And it was quite a fulfilling trip.
Well, I'm sure they did, because, you know, we're watching their guy. We get to rent their guy for several months out of the year. And yeah, that's great for them, because they, as you said, they love their guy. They want to support him no matter what he does. But then to see you guys come back and say, hey, we're obviously covering the Joker, but we want to cover you guys. We want to cover the
yeah.
environment that he grew up in that turned him into the man he is.
Yeah, and if we're lucky, this becomes a mutual thing, right? We felt that over there, the appreciation that we had come to learn, and we just hope that goes both ways. Maybe a little connection between the city of Denver, the cities of Belgrade and Sombor, it would be a beautiful thing. So, you know, with the DNBA show this week, we're going to be talking about Eurobasket. We're going to be talking about Team Serbia, and we're going to try to keep that line going, because that's where Jokic is right now. It is so deeply important to them, in a way that we couldn't understand. And as we hope to see Serbia hop on the Denver Nuggets bandwagon, well, it's only right for us to do the same thing. So, Idemo Serbia, brother. We're rooting, we're watching, and we're going to be covering it as best we can.
Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets. Fantastic story, too. Just the experiences, like you said, you're going to well document everything for followers and listeners to check out. Isn't that something, though? You make the note about how much pride they take in their team and Joker specifically. You know, in America, I've always talked about this on the show, even with the Olympics. When it comes to basketball or some of the sports that we follow on a regular basis, it does, whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, it does feel secondary. USA Olympic basketball feels secondary because we're watching these great players on a nightly basis once we get into the season. So maybe sometimes you take it for granted, but what you're talking about there is, man, something special that almost more so represents community than anything else.
That's exactly it. That's nail on the head. And I'd love to see that manifest at the local level. That's obviously a lot of what we're trying to do at DNVR, particularly DNVR Nuggets, in which I can say firsthand, it would be great if the Denver Nuggets felt like they belonged to Denver, right? Or in a mutual way, I should say, that they were a part of the city, that they represented the city, that you could see them outside, that you could feel that mutual pride and respect in the arena. Now, at best, we do see that in American sports, of course. But these guys are huge celebrities, and the event itself is such a spectacle. And so there's a soul to this experience that we haven't quite nailed that, in my opinion, on this side of the pond. So that's a big takeaway for me. Going to do everything we can to try to make people feel connected on the local community level, because that sports at its best, that's what it gives us. So easy to find community when you're a kid. I think we get less and less opportunities to do that as we grow older. but it's still just as important to us. It's important to remember that and fight for it. So that's one of the big lessons we took away, you know, not just learning about their culture, but learning a different way to appreciate basketball in Denver.
It's interesting, too, Brendan, because we've talked so much these last couple of seasons about, you know, why the NBA, the marketing team, whatever, doesn't get behind the Joker nationally like they should. But when you talk about that experience and everything that you saw there, it leads me to believe that Joker's bigger, is much bigger than our national media here when we talk about him. That these guys do represent, like we said, that bigger sense of community. And we don't see that here as much. Sure, we have players that we love, and there's a lot of players that give back to their communities, no question.
Sure, of course.
But it just seems like what you're telling me, the Joker just represents something so much larger. No wonder he didn't care about the MVP conversation, because he's a part of something so much bigger.
Yeah, and you know, the work still has to be done over there. He is the most talented Serbian player we've seen, in my opinion, I think in just about everyone's opinion, but he's not the greatest. He can't win that respect over there in the NBA. They don't care. I mean, they love to see him win. They'd love to see him win a title, but they, you know, to be a Serbian great, he has to win with Serbia, and that's something that we just can't tap into. I'm not sure if that bridge will be crossed, because the United States is just such a different country. I mean, we've succeeded in basketball at tremendous rate. We're kind of used to it. I would say that in some ways we haven't quite had to fight for every ounce of our existence like some folk in the Balkan region have. So that's going to be a hard thing to tap into, but to witness it is special. He's not number one over there, though. I'll tell you that. Novak Djokovic is 1, 2, and 3. Hmm. That guy got the loudest ovation in the room.
Wow.
And I think if Jokic is ever able to, well, we'll see it in Eurobasket and this World Cup should they qualify. When he wins with Team Serbia, he will reach a status of legend that he really hasn't reached yet, despite the MVPs.
Wow, that's crazy. What a great perspective. That's why I'm so grateful we could get you on to talk about this for a little bit. The other thing we've been talking about a lot, too, is over the years, you know, we're seeing more and more European players, more and more players from not from the United States of America excel. And you know, one of the things I point to, it's like these dudes always play basketball. Like they're all, and I'm not saying American players don't. There's a lot of players that probably play it more than we even know. But it just seems like that's what they do. It's like breathing to them.
It's true, man. And we forget. We think it all starts here, right, at the NBA in the States. But the game of basketball, the culture of basketball permeates the globe. They've been playing it in Serbia for 100 years. We found the court where the first basketball game was ever played in 1922.
Wow.
I bet a lot of people would be surprised to know that. We saw a lot of kids walking around with basketballs. They love to play the game. They love to compete. They love sport. Some natural-born athletes over there. But I think we underestimate how much this game has grown on the global level. And that's, of course, best reflected by Doncic, Giannis, Jokic. I mean, Steph and Durant are still who they are, but more and more, the best players in the world are the best players in the world and not just the United States of America.
I think that's so amazing, too, because as you're talking and describing, I'm thinking of all these movies, you know, these cliche movies. I remember, like, Cool Runnings. You remember that movie?
Sure, of course.
They're not just competing in the Olympics. They are representing everything and everyone that supports them. That's not the same in America. Sure, Russell Wilson could go win a Super Bowl, and we would love it as Broncos fans, but I don't think that Russell's like, hey, I'm doing this 100% because of my Colorado roots and all of that stuff.
Of course,
like, it's way different. I just picture like Joker when he's going for his morning jog. You've got people of Sombor just running along with him. Like, I actually get that picture. I don't see that. I can't picture it with anybody in the United States of America.
Sure, and obviously we should point out that there's some crisscrossing here. We're comparing some national team experiences versus local experiences.
Sure, yes.
But I think it also exists on the club level over there. We saw that. We got to go to a Red Star football game, soccer game, of course, and different sport. But, man, the pride was just as palpable. What an atmosphere to tap into. And I think it all just ties back into that same thing, that they wear this. They wear the pride of their community, their country, the people that rally around the team with them. They just wear it in a way we don't. And it's so inspiring and fun to watch. And look, I'm not trying to just bash the American experience here. There's plenty of things we get right about sport. And there are plenty of enjoyable and mesmerizing atmospheres that we can tap into as well. But there's something specific, and hopefully our documentary is able to show some of that. It's so hard for us to articulate as Americans, but we got a little sense of it. And it was just such a cool thing.
Yeah, no, and I think you're 100% right on both accounts, where you're not taking anything away from the way sports has grown here in the States. But there is something to be said about that, like we said a million times, that community feel to it. Brendan, did you learn any of the language? Did you get any words that you can throw at us here? I'm going to put you in the pressure cooker, man. Did you learn anything there? Because that part of my brain doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, thankfully, they speak a lot of English in Belgrade, so it wasn't quite as immersive in terms of what we had to learn. But I'll tell you, my personal vocabulary in any language, brother and cheers are very important, and I got it down. It's brate, and we say živali when we drink in Serbia. You got to clink glasses, you have to make eye contact, and you have to take a sip, or else it's rude.
I love it, man. Well, I'm going to write that down for when you guys go again and you decide to invite me, and I'll join the party, man. That would be fantastic. Brendan, love what you do. I love talking Nuggets, and I wanted to even hit the schedule with you, but we'll do that next week because this was much more important, I think, going over this whole experience. And again, I know we won't do it justice with a short interview here, but I'm looking forward to that documentary.
Thanks, man. And in the meantime, I got to plug the content. Harrison Wind was writing travel blogs. Kel Sorbo, our producer, has a photo journal that's on the site. And, of course, the great Ryan Green, his video vlogs, did an excellent job of capturing the spirit of each day. So check it out. Keep an eye out for the bigger content coming. And thanks for letting me come on to talk about it, man.
Anytime, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week, okay?
Sounds good, brother. All right. Do it then.
Thanks, man. Brendan Vogt, DNVR Nuggets. Angel's going to have to play that back because we'll say it at some point. You know what? How did he? Did that compute in your brain? How did he say, brother?
I got brate.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And then what was the cheers thing?
Zivali.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. We got to be ready for that. What a cool thing, though. All right, we're well overdue here for a break, so we'll take a short one here. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
This week, our game beer of the week is from Crabtree Brewing, Chunkin' Punkin'. I've had this before. Very good beer. Sounds like a beer I might want to try later this week. Pumpkin style beer, of course, and then you can find that at On the Rocks Liquor. They've got a lot of local breweries stuff inside of their liquor store. So you can pick up selections from Crabtree or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive through or just stop inside. They're open 9 a.m. until 10 p.m. every single day. This Friday, they have a tasting going on, 4 to 7. The good folks from Beatbox Party Packs will be on hand with assorted flavors to try. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Do me a favor and make your next celebration On the Rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. The line is moving, Angel. It's now 31.5 points as far as that spread is concerned between Colorado State and Michigan this weekend. The poll question is pretty simple. Are the Rams covering that spread? Boy, that's tempting. The Rams are now up. They were up 30.5 to nothing yesterday, and they just scored another point. Didn't even know that was possible, but they did. And they're now up 31.5 to nothing, shutting out Michigan at this point. Those lines still just scare the crap out of me because what do they know?
I feel like 30 is just like that's too much for them to not cover, right? Like you can't get beat by 30.
I don't know. I mean, you tell me. You see these kind of spreads all the time, Mr. Alabama. So you see these 30 plus spreads. How often does Alabama cover them?
I'd say not as often as you would think. Like the team, like I think they're like 41 point favorite over Utah State. They'll probably beat them by, like, 25.
Yeah, it's not very... Because you have to take this into account. What kind of coach are they? You know, if you're up 30, do you put a backup quarterback in? Do you take your foot off the gas? Now, again, we know that in college football, you can't just, it's not enough just to win. You're supposed to brutally beat your the teams that you're supposed to brutally beat. Because if, let's just say this, Angel, if CSU has a decent showing against Michigan, let's say they lose by 17. Just throw it out there. That will go against Michigan when we get down to the deciding four teams of who's going to the playoffs. They're going to look at that first game and they're going to go, well, yeah, but they didn't have a quarterback. What was the quarterback situation? You know, CSU kind of came out of nowhere with a redshirt freshman and made Michigan kind of look bad for a moment or two. They would use that against them. So you have to take a lot of that into consideration. Some coaches will pull back and say, hey, we're up 30. I don't want to get guys hurt, so we'll start peeling starters back. Or the other way. We need to blow this team out because we know every touchdown counts at the end of the day when they're evaluating who should be in the college football playoff.
Be interested to see. We know Michigan's doing their weird quarterback one-game, two-game thing. What if McNamara struggles in the first half of this game?
Yeah. Does J.J. McCarthy come in at that point?
It's a very good question. You could win the job Saturday or you could lose it very quickly.
Dixon says it could easily be like 42-10, and that wouldn't surprise anybody. It wouldn't surprise me. And that still doesn't mean that I'm not bullish on CSU. I'm still very excited about them. So I agree with you that I still wouldn't be shocked by it. I wouldn't hang my head and walk away going, oh, it's going to be a long year for CSU. I could see it happening. 11:50 the time. What did Coach Harbaugh have to say about his quarterback situation? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard weekdays at 2. On 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, Jim Harbaugh is feeling a little holy talking about his quarterback position. He's dropping biblical knowledge on people as far as making that decision between Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy. Here's what Mr. Harbaugh had to say.
I mean, it's a process. It is a process. I mean, for me to stand up, I mean, no person, I mean, that's biblical. No person knows what the future holds, and it's a process, and it'll be based on performance. We're not going to withhold any good thing. You know, both have been tremendous quarterbacks. We think that both are capable of leading our team to a championship. So,
I always crack up. Now he goes on. He says some people have asked, "How did you come to that decision? Was it based on some kind of NFL model as far as trying a quarterback this weekend and then another quarterback the next weekend?" He said, "No, it's really based biblical. Solomon, he was known to be a pretty wise person. That's what it was based off of, I guess." I always love it when coaches and managers go to this extreme when talking about football. And I mean, you remember Jeff Breidich for the Rockies years ago said general managers in baseball are like brain surgeons. You know, their job is just as hard as a brain surgeon. Like, I just that's funny to me. I think this whole thing is weird, dude. Like, McNamara's getting the start against CSU. And then J.J. McCarthy's getting the start against Hawaii for Michigan. I just feel like it's a mental thing. It messes with the quarterbacks going in. Name your guy. Who is the best guy? And then go from there. They're both going to play well, I imagine. It's CSU's defense and whatever's going on in Hawaii. You saw what happened to them this weekend. They're both probably going to do well.
Yeah, and then they have UConn week 3. So that's going to be your transfer week for one of those guys.
I just think it's just go with somebody, man. I mean, McCarthy was ranked one of the big wig players, rated by ESPN as the number 25 overall recruit in the 2021 class. McCarthy was limited all spring. He had a shoulder injury and such, but he's probably the guy. But is that a good thing for CSU? That I think it's going to be J.J. McCarthy The CSU's probably getting the backup quarterback this weekend. Method Flow Products poll question: will CSU cover 31.5 this Saturday at 10 o'clock against Michigan? Go vote at theholeshow.com. I'll read results coming back. We got the Lunch Rush, top stories trending nationally, coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.